Welcome to Texans Talk. I'm Josh McSwain, here with my co-host AJ Torres. Today, we're going to be projecting the running back depth chart for the 2021 season. Right now, looking at the guys on the roster, we got projected starter David Johnson. We got Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay that were free agent acquisitions. We got Rex Burkhead in the middle of that. Some other guys are just kind of hanging around, or Scotty Phillips, Buddy Howell, Dontrell Hilliard. Those last three guys really didn't see a lot of action last year. Some of the guys got a few carries. Specifically Phillips, I think he got 64 yards on 16 carries. But I don't know that any of those three guys are going to be on the roster when it comes out. So I'm looking at David Johnson keeping his starting job. Ingram might be a goal line back or a short yardage back. Lindsay might be a change of pace guy, and Burkhead might be a third down back. It's probably what I'm looking at right here. As far as what any of them are projected to do this coming season, it's really anybody's guess because none of them had 1,000 yards last year. Philip Lindsay had 118 carries for 502 yards last season in Denver, 4.3 yard per carry average, scored one touchdown. Ingram had 299 yards rushing under David Culley in Baltimore. I really don't think he's going to get a ton of work. I think it's going to be primarily in short yardage situations, and Johnson is going to be the main guy. Although Johnson certainly didn't have a spectacular year running the football last year, still he offers the most complete threat out of the backfield, either running or as a receiver. He had 691 rush yards last year, 4.7 yards per carry, six touchdowns. I mean, barring something catastrophic, you figure he's going to be the starter. He also had 314 yards receiving on 33 receptions and a couple more touchdowns through the air. So, yeah, health is his only question mark, but, yeah, he seems to be the unquestioned number one starter. Do you think there could be any surprises to the depth chart coming up?
Let's see. Currently, I'm looking at this is a 90-man depth chart right now. I see 89 active on payroll with 1 hour suspension and Bradley Robbie, so that makes it 90. I'm looking at the running back depth, and I mean, they don't owe Scotty Phillips a dollar, so I mean, he could easily be the first one out the door. As far as Dontrell Hilliard, I mean, they're not tied with him much anyway. I mean, granted, if he's cut, he owns himself a decent salary. I mean, I would take it personally. I would be perfectly okay with it. As far as Rex Burkhead goes, I see him as a third down back. I think you need four running backs for a team. Buddy Howell, they have a little money attached to. They got a little over almost $1.25 million there. But I think the running back spot is going to be I don't think it's going to be Mark Ingram per se. I'm not sure where he fits. But I see it's either David Johnson or Philip Lindsay for the number one back job, personally. I mean, as far as where a lot of these other guys stand, I mean, could there be five running backs on this team? I don't know. But a little bit more room than you would think. And currently the cap space is almost negative $25 million for this team currently.
Right. You also look at last year, the second leading rusher on the team was Deshaun Watson, who may or may not be there this year. So those 444 yards have to be distributed amongst the others equally if Watson's not playing. Therefore, I could see Johnson getting Close to 1,000 yards. I would say 850 on the ground is certainly a reasonable estimate. And I'm wondering if teams are going to play more in the box against Johnson, because if you got Taylor or Davis Mills or whoever we got throwing the ball, are they going to be able to hit Cooks on those deep routes consistently? Our defense is going to fear that. I don't know that they will. So, I mean, a couple of years ago, we had Carlos Hyde in here, and he got 1,000 yards on the ground. Of course, the big question is going to be offensive line. How is it going to play? Because we've talked ad nauseum about the interior of the line and how is it going to be. I mean, right now, no question, we got Laramie Tunzel out on the left side. Titus Howard, the very interesting, let's put it that way.
Yes.
First round pick from the Bob regime. He's still hanging around. I thought he'd be moving into guard personally, but
there's some talks about him going to center as well.
That would truly be interesting.
Indeed.
Right now, it might be Justin Britt, the former Seahawk, who's been battling injuries, who could end up starting. And that's just a very unknown proposition in and of itself. So then we got Marcus Cannon. Where does he fit in? Is he going to move into guard, or is he going
to stay looks at like tackle? He's playing, it looks like he's going to be going to right tackle. There is expectations of him being here. And here's a funny thing about Marcus Cannon too, because his money is not guaranteed. They could cut him tomorrow and they could save almost $7 million. And his contract doesn't expire until 2023. So with a little bit of luck, he is 33 years old, but you're hoping to get a year or two out of him just to make it suffice. Do I think he can do it? I think there's a chance, but you know how I am when a Patriot offensive lineman comes to another town. It seems like, you know what? You just got my bad leftovers, guy. Enjoy.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be a common trend. You also have Charlie Heck that's still sticking around. He was admirable in his performance last year on a very dysfunctional team. So I don't know if you want to start him at right tackle and maybe move Howard inside, trying to solidify interior. You also have Max Sharping, who was a second round pick a couple years ago. Might get some action at left guard. I mean, he's kind of the best you got there, so you got to roll with him. Hopefully he really solidifies his position over there. Heck seems like a really good third tackle. I don't know if you'd start him just out of necessity, and you know, if there's an injury to Howard or Cannon, that you'd move things around again. A lot of flexibility here. Some flexibility, but do you have the talent? That's the big question.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting going forward, because I'm seeing the depth at some of these positions. Like, a couple of them are toss-ups. Like, if you go by the position count out of these 90 guys, you got 12 wide receivers, you got 9 corners.
Right.
We'll see who makes it. It's a very interesting team, to say the least.
Yeah, we've certainly got a lot of moving pieces, and what exactly this team question becomes.
If this we'll wants see. To become a tanking team, and I just don't think the new regime with the new general manager is I just don't think he's an all-in guy. But we shall see. I mean, Merciless is not due a dime this year. You know, things like that.
Right.
It's going to be very surprising, I think. But if they want to go in a full tank mode, which I don't think they will, they do have movable pieces, very movable pieces. And do I think that they could be involved in the trade deadline this year? We kind of see it as, I mean, we've talked about, could this potentially be a winless season? And if that is the case, don't you pull for the tank job?
Yes.
Yes. So in the perfect world, if you go by a guy like Merciless, do you get what, a fifth round pick for him because he's not owed a dime? Is there a chance? I mean, if you like Marcus Cannon, I think you keep him because he's got two more years on there. But if you get something good, do you go with it? I mean, there's so much to play around with here.
Right. There certainly is. But let's kind of focus back onto what our projections for the running backs are this season. Kind of given my opinion on Johnson, probably 1,250 all-purpose yards, maybe 850 on the ground, another 400 through the air. I'd say Lindsey probably was like he would have been his last season in Denver, maybe 500 yards or so as a change of pace. Ingram probably is not going to have too many carries, but he might get in the end zone more than the other guys. And I would say Burkhead will get a handful of carries, probably used a lot more in the passing game.
All right. So here's a good one for you. Hopefully just get back this depth chart. So how about we go with, I'll name you a couple of the backs that I think are staying, and we're going to play a little bit of higher or lower. How's that?
All right.
So I'm not going to put in Watson for obvious reasons, but I'm going to put ahead Burkhead, Ingram, David Johnson, and we'll go Philip Lindsay.
All right.
Okay. Now, the only thing that's bothered me about Rex Burkhead, and yeah, it's not because he's 30 at the moment. It's because of his injuries and he's had some concussion issues. But needless to say, last year had 274 yards on the ground. So, 300 yards, higher or lower?
Lower.
I'm going to go lower. If you said 200, would you go higher or lower?
Ooh. Lower.
I'll go the lower. Okay. Another interesting one, because we know Mark Ingram on a very rush-heavy team, but, you know, one of the best revolutionary run quarterbacks is on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Mark Ingram, 72 carries, 299 yards, and two touchdowns. So I guess we'll do the same one again. 300 yards, higher or lower?
And if I'll say lower.
All right. What are you thinking? Just a couple less?
Yeah, I was thinking about 250. How about five touchdowns? Would you say higher or lower?
Lower.
I'll take the higher on that one.
I think it's the matter of getting there, and plus we know the offensive line is in question. Now, this is the biggest one because he gets hurt. Last year, David Johnson, 147 carries, 691 yards. So you think he could get 1,000 yards this year?
If he stays healthy, I see it potentially happening. Of course, it's also a matter of how much does he get used in the passing game as well. I think 1,000 all-purpose yards, without question, as long as he stays on the field.
So how many on the ground?
Like I said earlier, I'm thinking 850.
Okay, so I was originally going to go 600 higher or lower. You're taking the higher. I'm taking the lower on this one.
Okay.
All right, and the last one, Philip Lindsay. Last year, 118 carries, 502 yards. So here's the interesting one. If we go 500 yards, are we going higher or lower? Because I'm taking
a
higher.
Like I said earlier, I think it's about a push.
I'm going to go higher on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some potential there. He kind of lost his hold in the backfield. Maybe he'll have more of an opportunity, so I could see it.
Youngest run back on the team, I think. Well, out of these guys I've mentioned, let's see. Burkhead is 30, Ingram's 31, David Johnson's 29, Phillip Lindsay's 26.
Huh, I would have thought he was like 28, but how about that?
So, yeah, he's the youngest. And, yeah, he just had his job stolen by a free agent, and I thought the carries would be split. Nope, he lost his job, and salary cap said he needed to go out, and he's got a little bit of chip on his shoulder. He's going to want to get paid, and with a little bit of luck, they're going to give him the rock.
Yep.
So that, I think, is that's where I'm going. I'm going Phillip Lindsay as the running back. Eventually, he's going to be number one. Now, again, this all matters on David Johnson's health. But we'll go back and we'll see how this goes. We could both be dead in the water wrong on this. And, again, it's all about the offensive line.
Yep, this could definitely not age well.
It could potentially be that way, and we could look very foolish, but we knew that going into it because it's predicted to be the first 0-17 season.
Well, I mean, even then, I still feel like the team will at least get one or two victories.
Well, I said some predict.
Okay, that's fair.
Some predicted to be the first 0-17 team. I didn't say it was a lock.
That's fair. I mean,
but worst case scenario, down for the tank job.
Yeah.
Down for the tank job. Step for the tank job. My team freaking sucks.
Yes, but the thing about it is we haven't really had an opportunity to have an 0-17 team quite yet. The winless teams have been 0-14 or 0-16.
Oh, the pain.
Yeah, 76 Bucks, the Lions in 08, and the Browns in 2017, I think it was.
Yeah, it was
2017.
Yeah, we had the Bucks, the Lions, and one more. I lost track.
It was the 17 Browns.
Ah, that's right. Hard to think with the success recently, but it is what it is.
Well, I mean, success is somewhat relative. They got to the playoffs last year. They had 7 wins after drafting Baker in 2018. Then they stunk again under Kitchens, but I'm not going to get any more on that. We don't want to get too far off topic, but yeah.
Hey, we know how it goes with some of these things. If you've had a lot of hardship for many years and the success is starting to come within the last few, even if one's a down year, you become narrow-minded as a sports fan because you don't want to go back. You don't want to look back and you just want to see nothing but what's in front of you.
That is definitely true. Although us Texans, we got to be looking back at the last decade. We got 6 division titles.
Unfortunately, it doesn't look like this year just simply because there's too much competition going on and too much uncertainty.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Too much dysfunction.
Living on a prayer. And how many Texans have said that?
Well,
I see you crack that rare smile.
I was just trying to think where Bon Jovi's from. They from Boston, or am I totally off on that?
We're probably totally off. Let's see. Come on, computer. Killing me. Guess I'll go to the phone. Come on.
Yeah, I guess so. Although, if there were a Bon Jovi song for the Bob era, it might be You Give Love a Bad Name. At least that's more fitting of the end of that era. I particularly think Watt and Hopkins would think so.
He was born in Jersey.
Okay. Jersey. Well, it's not too far away. Of course, both of those places might think they're a world away from the other.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When it comes to the Northeast, man, like that's more metropolitan and definitely not New England. When I think of New England, I'm thinking of kind of Connecticut, but not really, even though they include the whole state. Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. At least that's what when I think of New England, that's what I think of. Maybe not so much Vermont, but yeah. When you say Boston or Massachusetts and you go Jersey, around here, they'll look at you like you got two heads.
Well, they're still probably closer than Dallas and Houston are, and Dallas and Houston are in the same state.
Well, also, if you think about it, some of the states are smaller.
Well, I mean, that's the thing right there. I was thinking more culturally, could Boston and Jersey be worlds away, even though they're not that far geographically?
Much more away than you think. Now, it depends on Jersey, because I mean, there's some people, if you go to the airport in Jersey, it's Newark. Newark, New Jersey is the armpit of America, and that surpasses Chicago and that surpasses Detroit. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people that are in the metropolitan area that will tell you that Jersey has the best farms. Yeah, you might get your melons and peaches from Georgia, but there's a lot of good stuff that are grown over in New Jersey, the Garden State. But they act and talk so differently than the people in Massachusetts. How do they drive? Now, that'd be the one thing that they're actually similar to.
Makes sense.
They both can't drive. But yet, who could drive in America, from what I'm told from some of our guys across the pond?
Well, there you go. Complete discussion of the Texans running backs for this year. Anyways, any final thoughts, AJ?
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting, because I think there's a good chance that me or you are going to be right on one of our takes, and we're going to be like, hey, by the way, rent free.
Yep, there we go. So, AJ, I know you run the Twitter account, Texans Talk. Do you mind reminding people what the handle is?
It is at Texans Talk Pod at the moment, but currently we will be rebranding. It's
definitely
a very hard
stay
decision
tuned for that.
It's been a very hard decision for the both of us, but I will not put any backlash on somebody else, but there has been somebody that has hopped on YouTube with a Texans Talk, not a Texans Talk Pod, just Texans Talk. And instead of just being kind of in the middle of it and just saying, hey, what's going on here? Or, you know, trying to make some sort of agreement, we're just going to get creative and we're going to rebrand. We aren't going anywhere. We aren't changing what we're doing. We still believe in what we're doing. And the best way we do it is we just come up with a more unique name, and we still have our little touches to it. That's all we can do.
Indeed. So there you have it, folks. You can connect with us on there and come back next week for wide receivers while we look ahead to 2021 at that position group. So on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.